Will you join me in prayer? Lord, you are a God who is in it all, taking the ordinary and making it extraordinary, like water to wine, like death to life. We want to encounter you in all of that. May our hearts be wide open to do that now, and may they rest in the reality of your love. Amen. When I was a kid, I thought that growing up was surely the coolest thing. Do you remember that? Your perception of adulthood as a youth. Grown-ups got to do so much cool stuff. Like, they went to bed whenever they wanted, and they got to drive cars, and they went on vacations and bought boats, and no one ever told them what to do. Turns out, my perception of adulthood was a farce. So I go to bed at 8 on Friday nights because I'm simply exhausted. No one mentioned having to pay for gas or maintenance on that car, or that I would save for months or years to go on a vacation. And how I always feel like I'm being told what to do. And often by people or institutions who I don't think loved me as much as my parents did at the age of 4. Being a grown-up is actually kind of boring. And don't get me wrong, I am really, really happy. But all of this adulting is really just kind of ordinary life, like feeding my dogs, or mowing the lawn, running the dishwasher, paying my mortgage. Things that seem way far from Jesus. And as we emerge from the holy holidays, like Pentecost and Easter, the next big thing in the church world, something like Advent, feels a long way off, much like the day today. The same old boring kind of thing. And yes, Mom, I know that I have weeds to pull. Yet as I read over our liturgy for this season, it is thick with some pretty real stuff involving Jesus and his disciples. It's no resurrection, but the scriptures that we're going to be looking at this summer are really Jesus' public ministry, his day-to-day, his doing the ordinary stuff, though I don't think he had a dog to feed. It's the healings and the signs, the essential teachings, that not only remind us, but they challenge us, too, to encounter God in that day-to-day. And in that, the ordinary becomes anything but ordinary. The purpose of this season is actually pretty extraordinary and very much fundamental to our knowing and loving God. In fact, this season is one of the sources of our faith, because if we can't do the day-to-day, the ins and outs of following Jesus, how can we ever celebrate in those other seasons? When Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4, we'll start with verse 7. He says, "But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you." These words can seem a little dramatic, these ones of Paul's. They're not of glory, but they're of struggle. And honestly, I sometimes have a hard time relating. I've really had it pretty good so far. And I'm not saying that to brag. I've just been really blessed. I have a career that I love, good health for myself and the people around me, the opportunity to own a home, and doing all of that within a community that has largely had the same kind of luck. Friends who have married those that they love and had beautiful, healthy babies, as they move up in the ranks of investment or real estate. And as we enter our 30s, things have started to get a little bit more real, a bit more broken perhaps, like affairs and divorces, and parents who get sick or die, miscarriages and lost jobs. These experiences of life that I'm referencing, you all know them. And you likely know them far better than I can even start to name or imagine. What we experience, this ordinary day-to-day life, this didn't start with us or even with the modern church. This in and out kind of thing has been going on for always. Kingdom work is hard work. It's long, and it's sometimes boring, and it can be demanding and frustrating. It's stuff like trying to come up with a really creative theme for what feels like yet another building campaign, or writing a check every single Sunday morning, or passing the basket through the pews for 25 years. We know the treasure that Paul talks about. It's what we preach, it's what we celebrate when we talk about the gospel. But let's be honest, the reality is that we spend most of our time in a clay jar existence. It's not super glorious. Clay jars don't have a lot to boast about. And if they're anything like the eclectic pottery collection gifted to me by my students, they could use a little work. I'm pretty convinced that most of the stuff I get is things that they're too embarrassed to take home to their moms. Chipped, cracked, far from perfection, but useful nonetheless. These jars do the ordinary work of transporting water. At their best, their attitude is one of humility, of gratitude for the privilege of their perceivably basic function in a much, much bigger eternal scheme. Sounds a little different than what our popular culture messages to us. In fact, maybe the exact opposite. The way this too often manifests is that we get way too caught up in the treasure. We're trying to bypass the earthen jars, ignore the cracks and the ugliness, and just get to the good stuff, the celebration and the joy. And if treasure is not our reality, we are working really, really hard to create the perception that it is. I talked recently to a friend who had stopped going to the church she'd been at for a while, and I asked what had happened, and she said, "There's a lot going on with our family, and our youngest son was really struggling. We were worried and sad, and every time we came to church, people would say, 'How are you?' And I guess it was my fault," she said, "but I would answer, 'I'm doing great. How are you?' I felt like great was the answer that they expected. And I didn't know if I could be real about the day-to-day, the stuff that was less than awesome or wrong or imperfect in our very human family. I'm not sure where that notion comes from, especially in our churches. This idea that the everyday stuff, the hard stuff, the boring stuff, the, you know, I'm not doing great kind of stuff, isn't worth doing together. I guess it makes sense. Burning your mortgage is a heck of a lot more fun than paying it. But when we race to the next great thing, or even worse, when we hide in the seasons that are difficult or that are just ordinary, we are not only missing out on Jesus, we are missing out on one another, and we are missing out on the call for us to do kingdom on earth. Everyday, ordinary things, like paying the bills and sweeping the kitchen, driving to work, they are the day-to-day. It's the showing up with the casserole for the parents who came home from the hospital without a baby, as much as it is being at the wedding. And I'd argue that the former matters more. That is Paul's reminder to us, that the daily, often confusing, perplexing, and even crushing, that's where Jesus is at. That's where life is really happening. It's not the mountaintops. It's not the valleys either. It's the rolling hills or the sometimes really flat stretches of the Midwest plains. It is conversations with the neighbor at the mailbox or returning the cart for the young mom at the grocery store or sitting across from an old friend who is longing just to be heard and listening. It's the ministry of Jesus, to love God and then to love others even more. And it's not to say that those mountaintop moments don't exist. They require a lot of climbing to get there and a lot of doing that together. Today, in the life of this family, is a celebration of that. The ordinary manifesting as the extraordinary. A mountaintop moment. The product of kingdom work. The work that Paul reminds us of in Corinthians, the work of clay jars. For 25 years, we've done the everyday of praying for this church and for our offering, of being willing to risk to give financially even when we might not know what was in the bank, or in passing a couple of dollars to a child or grandchild for them to put it in the offering basket. I was that child. 7-year-old, wherever we were at the time. Many of you have joined us along the way, and others are here for the first time, or the first time in a long time. We are screaming from the mountaintops with the faithfulness of God and this congregation today, thick with excitement and joy and deep, deep gratitude that our mortgage is paid off. We are thankful for leaders, brave and bold ones who began this family, and quiet and faithful ones who remind us of the call. We are thankful for those that came before us, the forerunners as far back as Paul, who told us that it wouldn't be easy, but that it would be worth it. And it is. But we're thankful for the forerunners of this church, too, the ones who not only said yes, but did yes. We are thankful for the ordinaries who have made the extraordinary happen. All those who have given of time or talent or energy or money. And we're thankful for the torchbearers, those who will carry this forward, us, unbridled, eager to do the ordinary work that we have been called to. To serve faithfully, humbly, and with passionate hearts for justice and for love. We will keep doing the ordinary around here because kingdom work is hard work. But it is our work as those who know and follow Jesus. Not always mountaintops or Easter Sunday resurrection services, but some gentle grade hiking and setting up for communion again. But so, so important. Clay jar living. Because we know that treasure is abundant and ours is a humble presence that is part of a far, far greater eternal plan. And so, may we celebrate unabashedly and joyfully. May we remember and may we give thanks. May we seek to see more kingdom in the ordinary all around us. In the seasons of in-between, the mundane, the not so great, and the boring. May we remember that it is worth it because we are in it and hard and fast after a loving, good, and faithful God who promises treasure in our clay jar worlds. And may kingdom come.